I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, at first glance, this seems like a pretty nice image, a comforting image. Jesus, our Lord, is the vine, and his Father is the great master gardener, the one who takes care of the vine. Again, at first glance, seems like a happy, comfortable image. But if you spend any time thinking about it, you begin to realize that this image that Jesus is giving us is a little bit more unsettling than it first appeared. It's unsettling in terms of what it says about Jesus, and it's unsettling in terms of what it says about the Father. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, this picture that Jesus gives is not, well, I'll speak personally, it's not how I often look at my life. It's not how we often look at our lives. We picture our lives differently. When we think about our lives, we are the vines with all sorts of little branches that are attached to us, our family, our jobs, our hobbies, and so on. But Jesus gives us a different picture where he is the vine and we are the branches. In Jesus' picture of things, we the branches, we live in an intimate, dependent, moment-by-moment relationship to him. We abide in him so that all of our life and nutrients comes from him. As my friend John Barr put it in describing this passage, he says, you know, when we abide in Jesus, his life and joy flows out of his heart and into ours. See the picture of that vine connecting the two. The other day I was cutting back some boxwood hedges in our front yard, and I ended up with some pretty good sized branches that I had taken off of the original hedge. And I also ended up with, as I stood back and looked at my work, with some gaping holes that were not particularly good looking from the street. So I thought, well, boxwood has the reputation for being very easy to root in the ground. So I thought, what have I got to lose? So I cut off the ends of the branches and I stuck them there in a little row to make a little fence in front of where the big hole that I had made. And I watered them in well. In fact, I watered them in so well that the other day we got a note from the water department saying, you may have a broken pipe or a busted commode. And I said, no, I don't have a broken pipe or a busted commode. I am watering these branches that I have planted into the ground. But when I looked out of the window yesterday, these branches, which are no longer abiding in the shrub, no longer getting their nutrients from the main plant, they've begun to wither. The truth is, we are all abiding in something. The question is, does that something give us life, or does it cause us to wither away? Maybe you find yourself this morning dwelling on some difficult person, abiding in angry thoughts that keep going round and round and round in your head, and you just can't get past the hurt. I've been there. We're all abiding in something. Or maybe you find yourself dwelling on some nagging fear that just won't let you be. You're abiding in fears about the future, fears about your job, fears about your health. Or maybe you find yourself abiding in some bitterness that things just haven't worked out the way that you thought they were going to work out. Or maybe you're abiding in that subtle lie of the enemy that if only you lived in the right city or had the right job or had the right relationships, well, then you'd be happy. All of us are abiding in something. Jesus presents us with an invitation. He says, won't you come abide in me? Won't you come and get your strength and your life and your joy from me? A few verses beyond where Ben read there in John's gospel, Jesus gives an explanation of why it is, you know, what this image is all about and why it is that he's sharing it with his disciples. He said, look, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be half empty, no, full. He wants us to abide in him so that your joy can be full. His joy can be in you, flowing from his heart into yours. So often in our search for joy, and again, I'm speaking for myself here, we in looking for joy, we want the world around us to change. We want our relationships to change, or our jobs to change, or our health to change. And there's certainly nothing wrong with asking for these things. In fact, Jesus was quite clear that we are to take every want and desire to the Lord in prayer. But what Jesus is saying here is that while all these things can indeed certainly bring some happiness, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, a change in relationship, change in health, and so on, ultimately where true joy comes from is not by having the world outside us change. True joy comes from a change within, a change in the heart, a change where we begin to abide in Jesus. Attach ourselves to the true vine. Either we dwell in Christ and all of his redeeming power, or we dwell elsewhere and we wither like those pitiful little branches planted out there in the front row. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For I am the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus is the vine. His Father is the master gardener. His Father is the one who cares for the vine, who prunes our lives as the great vine dresser. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. I'm the middle child in my immediate family, which means that I am simultaneously an older brother and a younger brother at the very same time. But one of the great joys of being a big brother is that you get to brag on your little brother. And I love bragging on my little brother. And I'll just say to all you big brothers and big sisters out there, if you are not bragging on your little brother or little sister, you are missing out on one of the great joys of being a big brother or a big sister. But I love to brag on my little brother, and there's plenty to brag about. He's a successful businessman. He has a heart that's the size of a whale. I mean, he would give the shirt off of his back for someone who was in need. He's just a wonderful person. He is also, though, he is a master gardener in every sense of the word. Even when we were teenagers, he had an intense interest in plants and would read books about plants and would learn which ones were edible and how you could eat them and what their names were and so on and so forth. If you went on a walk through any forest in the Carolinas, I dare say you'd have a hard time finding any plant that my brother couldn't identify and tell you whether or not it was edible and so on. But even so, even knowing all of that about my brother, I've always had a difficult time taking his advice on pruning. Because here's the thing about pruning. If you're going to get pruning right, you've got to learn to prune the bush further back and deeper in than at first you'd think you'd want to. When you're pruning back azaleas or wax myrtles, there's always the temptation to cut off the branch right there on the edge where you want the hedge to be, or where you want the end of the azaleas to be, or whatever it is. But you can't cut the branch off there. You've got to go deeper back under the canopy and prune the plant in there. I'm in the middle of pruning our azaleas out front, and I'm half done with the job. I've been half done with the job for about a week, and if you drive by, it looks like a bad haircut. You know, half the thing is pruned, and the other half is just wild. I mean, literally, you can see right where I've stopped. But it's interesting, because I can look back and see where I pruned 3 years ago, and I can tell 3 years ago, I didn't go far enough in. I always feel so bad going so deeply in to prune so much away. Gardeners, I like to think, are basically sculptors who have the ability to see the future through the eyes of faith, knowing that that plant is going to grow, and knowing that it's going to bear more fruit and bear more foliage if it's pruned right than if it hadn't been pruned at all. But a gardener has to be able to see the future. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. The thought of God pruning our lives is incredibly painful. There's just no getting around that. But God never prunes out life. He only prunes out death. He's pruning out those parts of our lives that bring decay, those parts that actually stunt the growth of joy. He's cutting out those addictive patterns and compulsions that will keep us from bearing fruit. He's cutting out those broken affections that cause us to give our time and our energy to things that in the end aren't going to bring to true joy, true life. And there's no getting around it. When the Father comes to cut those things out, it hurts. Now, I've spent enough time with people to know that I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying, some people go in and say, well, Father Andrew said that every time I have something painful, that means that God is pruning something away. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus was very clear that sometimes we can discern God's will in things, but sometimes we can't. We need to be very careful about discerning, well, this is God's will or God is doing. But what you can, in looking back over your life in reverse, is you can often see, oh, well, yes, God was pruning something away there, and it hurt, but it was for my good and for his glory. He does it out of love. He does it for our joy. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Many of you will remember the account of Aaron Lee Ralston, who in 2003 went rock climbing in southeastern Utah. Aaron is an experienced climber, so he wasn't doing the well-marked climbs, you know, that had been traveled many times. He was the kind of climber who would go out to something that had never been climbed before. I mean, he's that kind of climber, an expert climber. But during this particular climb, a boulder became dislodged and pinned down his right arm so that he couldn't move. He cried out for help, of course, knowing that there was no one around. He cried out for help for 5 days and 7 hours, but no help came. After waiting these excruciating 5 days and 7 hours, he was faced with a decision. He could keep his arm and stay and die. His right arm that had seemed absolutely necessary for his life. I mean, who among us would not say, I need my right arm? Or he could remove his arm and receive life. Well, after considering it back and forth and back and forth, Aaron made the heart-wrenching decision. He took out his dull pocket knife and he amputated his own right arm. Now, describing the event, Aaron says this. He said, it was absolutely the most excruciatingly painful moment of my life, and yet it was a moment of profound joy. Because when he finally made the decision to remove his arm, he was set free. He was given a new lease on life. In fact, he goes now from town to town sharing his story with others. What had once seemed absolutely necessary in Aaron's life was pruned away so that he could be set free from that boulder that had pinned him down. In the process, though incredibly painful, it was the beginning of joy in his life. There is nothing easy about being pruned, and yet it is necessary if we're going to have life. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he cuts away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Beloved, what are you abiding in this morning? Where is your heart? Where are your thoughts? Where are your commitments? Where are you abiding? Where are you drawing your energy? And what might the Father, the Master Gardener, be pruning out, cutting out of your life so that you might bear more fruit? It's painful, but he's trustworthy. He can see the future. Beloved, abide in Christ. Abide in worship. Abide in prayer. Abide in reading His Word. Abide in fellowship. Abide so that His life and His joy might flow from His heart into yours, and your joy might be full. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you confront us with this image, you present us with an invitation. We ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit this day, that we might indeed abide in you. Reveal, I pray, in our lives those areas where we have been abiding that are not life-giving, and give us the grace, Lord Jesus, to abide in you alone. And Father, in so much as there are things that you need to cut away in our lives, we pray for the gift of your courage as we forbear your work in our lives. Give us the eyes of faith to see that every cut you make, every aspect of our lives that you prune, is for our good and your glory. I ask these things expectantly, for I ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.